Heavenly Father, we pray for Sean. We pray that the words he speaks come from you. And as a congregation, we will hear what he has to say and what he has to say. Amen. Amen.
Cheers, Ruby. Thank you. Who's going to get a lie in tomorrow morning? I mean, I am. And I feel like that's the first time I'm getting a lie in for a very long time. I know some of us are early risers anyway. Who's an early riser out there? Ooh, too many. So I'm looking forward to a lie-in tomorrow as I start kind of 2 weeks off after this initial onslaught of being here. But I want to thank you for the way you've welcomed me. Thank you so far to everyone who's in the youth being reasonably nice. Reasonably. And yeah, so far, loving it and want to stay, so tick. So get on with our topic for tonight, which is the last part of our series that we've been looking at on the book of Timothy. It's all about calling. And if I ask you what calling meant, for me it's a couple of things. Initially, as soon as I told Sarah that I was talking about calling, she just sat there frozen and went, Sean, which is a common sound in our house. I don't know if you recognise the band, The Calling. Anyone? This is kind of early 2000s, so before a large number of you were born. But it reminds me of their song, If I Could, Then I Would Go. Yeah, you got it. That was one of the real emotional ones that as I was going through my many teenage heartbreaks that I would sing at the top of my lungs in my bedroom to really kind of help myself connect with my feelings. When I think of calling, as I've already referenced, it's a common method in our house for trying to get the other person to make a cup of tea. I found this picture of tea on the internet. There is something wrong with that cup of tea. Just to clarify, for anyone who's on the refreshment team, if your tea looks like that when it comes out the teapot, leave it to brew for quite a bit longer. But we're talking about calling in this sense, specifically about our calling from God, or the purpose that God is calling us to, the plan and the life that God wants us to lead. This isn't the place tonight for me to give you specifics and to let you know, for each one of you, what God is calling you to do, but to give an idea about what we're looking for. As we start looking at this, I'd love you to either open up your Bible app or crack open one of the church Bibles. It's 2 Timothy 4 that we're looking at, and I'm going to pick some bits out from this chapter. So I'll give you a moment to find where you are. 2 Timothy 4, right in the back if you're in the paper Bibles. It's after 1 Timothy, surprisingly. And if you've got it open on the Bible app, we're going to use the NIV, the New International Version, to look at tonight. And although this is the last chapter in this series, and you might look at it initially and think, well, what has this got to say about calling? Which was what I thought when I was first given the title and the passage. There's quite a bit. It's quite rich in little bits of wisdom. So I'm going to break it down into a few different areas. So the first part to look at is your calling. And there's a couple of points in this that we can look at. The first point, and the first part of your calling, is to be like Jesus. So go heavy right at the start. And this appears in verse 2, which says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We are called to be God's hands and feet, to help other people out, but to sometimes do the tough loving that is required of a friend. This doesn't mean going to people you disagree with in the street and going, you're doing it wrong, repent and believe, because that's probably not going to make a difference to their lives. What it does mean, though, is you standing up for what you believe in. It means gently guiding people who love and trust you and people who you love and trust to help them live the calling that God has in mind for them. It's worth bearing in mind that in this book, 2 Timothy, that it's Paul writing to Timothy, who is already a missionary. That is his calling, and that is the task he is doing. So he's already, his main calling is to do this, to spread God's word. But this is something we are called to do in all things as well. That sometimes we have to correct, rebuke, and encourage. That sounds like a parent talking down to a child. But it's not. It's us as friends, it's us as people who know other people, guiding people along their walk with Christ and not hiding our faith. The second part of this is doing it well. So whatever God has called us to is to keep our head in all situations. It's enduring hardship, doing the work of an evangelist, discharging all the duties of your ministry. Do it well. Work hard at the calling that God has for you. Deal with the struggles and battles that get in the way. But how do you know what God is calling you to do? Because obviously, God is going to speak in a different way to the Wi-Fi generation. It's you guys. To the generation who used to listen to the wireless. That people are going to hear from God in different ways. And that now, even, you know, through an app, that we get time to spend with God to help us guide. We need to be alert to different ways that God might speak to us, through the little things and the small things as well. Through feelings, through other people, through noticing those little things in the world around you. To news reports, a notification, a comment, a Bible story or a verse or a prayer. So how can God call? It can be quick. Or it can be slow. You can ask for something and it can take a while to happen. I'm not talking minutes, I'm talking decades. That God might have a calling for you in your life and it might take a very long time for you to work out what it is or for the answer to come. Or for you to get into the role that God is calling you to do. And some other things, they happen straight away. You only have to look at something like this, the service here, the six, that actually for some of us, it's taking a while to realise some of that vision that was intended. It's taking a while for a congregation and a service to take a journey. Sometimes it could take a lifetime for you to reach the calling that you're led to. But it's God's timing and not ours. And we don't have to worry about second guessing it. If we know we're called, then we know that God will fulfil it. But in his time. Then secondly, it can defy logic or it can support it. Your calling could be in line with your strengths. At some point, particularly if you're part of the youth, you may see me play football. Some of you who already witnessed me play football or frisbee. And what you'll very quickly see is that I'm useless. In fact, it doesn't stop at football. It's any sport involving a ball or coordination of any sort. I cannot do it. Fine to watch it, rubbish to play it. If you want a doubles partner for tennis, it's not me. And you know what? Because of that, I strongly believe that God's probably not going to call me to any sports-based ministry. Because it's not my strength. I'd be very surprised if he did, and he might. But I don't think that's what he's called me to do. Because of my sporting abilities. I'm a bit of a maths and physics geek, because some of you have already heard, I studied physics at uni and I love, weirdly, a bit of algebra, but don't judge. So, because of that, I love solutions that make logical sense. I love a method. I love a clear answer that you can see from the very beginning that you know you've got to get to. I love a clear and well thought out plan. Which is why my wife, Sarah, always surrenders holiday planning to me. We're going away on Tuesday and Sarah has planned a day out. Or, well, she recommended a day out. I booked the tickets. But actually, you know, that's my gift and I love to make a good plan. It's all about finding the holiday, the best route, the best accommodation, the best things to do, all at the most effective price and at something that keeps Sarah happy. And finally, it can be what we want or what we don't. It can be in line with what you want to do or it can push against it. It's not the point of being a Christian to live your life aiming to become a vicar and to be super holy. Just to get it out of the way, if anyone asks me in a few months' time, that's not my calling. I'm not going to leave here in 3 years and become a vicar. That's not God's plan for me. But, you know, maybe your calling is something different to what you might want in a job, or vice versa. You know, maybe your gift is admin, filling in boxes well. Maybe your calling is to be a good person who remembers stuff. If you've got the passage open, check out verse 11. It's just a little line, which goes something on the lines of, and this is Timothy talking to Paul, get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to my ministry. You know what? You could be called to be an assistant, just like Mark is there. He is called to help someone out, to enable someone else to do the super holy stuff, to be that missionary work. Even better is verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak that I left, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. First of all, what we learn from this is Timothy, a little bit forgetful. He left his coats and his scrolls behind. But it might be your calling to be the person who fetches and carries. It might be you're good at that. It might be you're a manual labourer. It might be that you're good at carrying stuff and shifting stuff and moving stuff. Let's look at a couple of people who have done different things in their life to what you think. First of all, Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury. Actually studied history and law at Cambridge. Then spent 11 years doing finance for the oil industry. Then you got the head of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis. He got a diploma from secondary school. That's all he got academically. He worked as a bouncer in a bar. No word of a lie. And as a janitor, sweeping floors. He also ran tests in a chemical lab because his diploma was in food chemistry. Then you've got Bear Grylls, our good chief scout. He went to Eton with the rest of the posh boys, served in the SAS, and has the privilege to have spoken to presidents about his faith and discuss issues of faith. We've got Beth Croft. Anyone know Beth Croft, one of the worship leaders at Soul Survivor? She studied maths at the University of Bath before then becoming a worship leader. And the last person, Rachel Gardner. You might know Rachel Gardner if you've been to a Christian conference recently. Love the tartan trousers. Not quite for me. Rachel Gardner has spoken at many conferences, especially to young people, and heads up an organisation called Romance Academy, as part of Youthscape, that talks about sex and relationships. And she describes her upbringing as something like this. These are her words. I spent most of my 20s not knowing how to live fully as a spiritual, sexual, emotional, and powerful woman. The call to youth work, which is what she does, came whilst writing a boring essay on Christian history at LST, London School of Theology. She says that I was nearly falling asleep, but as I was writing about Anabaptists, I felt God say to me, Rachel, you have got to commit to the next generation. Rachel went into one calling that she thought was for her, but then in the middle of that, heard God calling her elsewhere. You know, when I was coming here to the parish of Ashdod, can I be honest with you and say, I didn't really want to. Wait. It's not because I'd heard so much about... But it's because that calling would mean leaving the people who I'd known and loved for 5 years. The church family who'd supported me so much. The place where I'd met Sarah, my wife. The young people that I loved working with and invested relationships in. But I knew that it was what God wanted. And that's why I say it can be sometimes what you don't want. Just like Jonah, when he ran away from the calling of the Lord and went to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. And I'm glad I followed that call here, because from what I can tell, God is moving here and that these guys aren't half bad. So what is our calling not? And this is important to think about. And so if we can move on and look at verse 10. The first part, when we think about what our calling is not, is to be careful of the world around us. Verse 10 talks about this guy called Demas. And all we know is it says here, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Now, we don't know the details of Demas' situation, but it is evident that Demas decided that what the world had to offer is better for him than what God has to offer. That is a massive temptation in the world around us. Who is keeping up with Love Island? Yep, so I can see a couple of people not willing to admit it. I don't. Although I know enough about it. I know that Toby and Millie May are still together. Yeah. Tommy and Millie May. It's the only fact I've known and the one thing that told me over the last 4 weeks. One thing I have seen about the phenomenon of Love Island, and we also saw this with some other kind of hit TV shows such as Jeremy Kyle. What a show. Those of you who have been on study leave recently will have discovered that. That lots of people in their lives have swapped maybe calling for influence. And if you look at some of the most highly influential people on Instagram, we've got Selena Gomez, and we've got our second favourite Argentinian, Messi, as two of the top influencers who, on average, have a committed following of about 4 million each, which is a percentage of their overall following, but that's how many people they influence on a daily basis. 4 million people. Can you imagine the sort of power that has and how attractive that might be to people? Some of these guys, especially the Kardashians and Jenners, are able to make sometimes £100,000, hundreds of thousands of pounds, rumoured even $1 million off of one post on Instagram. That's how much a brand will pay them to get the word out there. That is the level of influence they have. On a show like Love Island, where everything revolves around actually the commercial world, they all wear clothing from certain suppliers that then surprisingly go on sale straight away online. £1 million industry with great influence, but arguably a calling away from what the world has. Then also, as we look at verse 14 and 15, there's another warning to be careful of others. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. You too should be on your guard against him. Now, it's quite strong to say, hey, you know what? You might have to watch out for the people sitting around you when it comes to your calling. Because this isn't just talking about your non-Christian friends. Actually, this could apply to your Christian friends as well. Because you know what? Your calling is not necessarily what other people say your calling should be. If people along the way give you words and pictures from God, receive them and hold on to them. But don't necessarily use them as the law to your life unless you're getting words and pictures that start to make sense and start to add up and start to agree with each other. Don't take one word from someone and say that's who you're going to be the rest of your life. Because you know what? Sometimes those aren't so good. And sometimes, you know what? We can think we've got a good calling on our lives, and then stuff gets a bit messy. You screw up. You think that actually, well, God's called me to this, but now I've done that, so how is he going to use me? Chances are friends and family around you might have the same mindset. Ah, well, you know, you've done that now, so there's no way God's going to use you. But it's simply not true. Because the final part of this is that your calling, our calling, is also God's calling. And Paul says earlier in the book of Romans that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which means even when you get it so wrong, even when your calling is over there and you're all the way over here and walking in that direction, God is still going to honour that. And God is still saying, hey, I've got this plan for you. It's here. Come get it. Not once does doing something wrong or running away from God's calling change who God says you are. If you look at verses 16, 17 and 18, they say this. At my first defense, in verse 16, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. I feel like sometimes this is the first stage as you start to live out a plan that you think is God's. You go for it, and you're like, yeah, let's do this, and everyone else is kind of like, are you? I don't know if I can get behind that yet. Sounds a little bit risky. Not quite for me. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. Know that when God calls you to something, he is right there with you. Like, literally at your side, going, this is my plan for you, so of course he's going to be in there. Of course he's going to be in that with you. And then this final promise that the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. That is good news. That means that although, as we go through our lives and get it wrong a lot, that God's calling for us still stays the same. God calls us to spread the word to other people, to be good news in whichever roles he puts us in. Big roles, small roles, influential roles, and those with very little influence. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And not one thing can change that. I wonder if you can do me a favour for a second and just shut your eyes. And just think about what it is that God might be calling you to. Perhaps you've got a little idea in your mind, or perhaps you're in the middle of it, living it. But what I want you to do is think about, actually, is there ever been a moment where someone's told you that you're not good enough for the calling that God has called you to? That because of something you've done, or something, the way you've acted, or just your character, that you're not going to be good enough for that calling? Have you ever had that situation in your life? While everyone's eyes are closed, can I just ask you to very quickly put your hand up in the air and put it back down again? Okay, hands down. That was quite a lot of hands. So as we sing this song in response to this, that talks about who God says we are, when we come to that part of the song that says, God is for me, not against me, that I am chosen and not forsaken, perhaps sing those words in a fresh way tonight that goes, actually, God, I'm going to come back to the calling that you have for me. I'm going to ignore what other people have said, and I'm going to focus back on you. Let's stand as we worship together.